This episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by TouringPlans.com. Spend more time on rides and less time in line enjoying Walt Disney World. And be sure to use discount code NERDS2016 for 20% off. That's TouringPlans.com.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 171 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going? This is Ed, and welcome back to the show. On this week's show, we're going to do a show we've been promising for weeks and months, and it seems like almost a year now. We're going to do a show, the Disney in Detail, all about Soarin'. Now, for this week's show, we've got Jen with us. Hey Jen, how's it going?
Hey, it's so good to be back, and you know I love the nerdy deep dives.
It's great to have you back. And we also have Sam with us this week. Sam, how's it going?
It is absolutely wonderful. I've done my homework and I'm ready to talk Soarin'.
Awesome. Now, as we've been talking since the show's begun, Soarin' is one of our favorite rides. It can't be denied that it is a really, really cool ride that we've all been on many, many times. And since the new Soarin' came out, we've all had a chance to ride it at this point. So we're going to do a little comparing today. But before we get to that, let's hit some of the details. Now, Soarin's been around for a number of years.
As we record this show tonight, on February 8th, 2017, it has been 16 years since Soarin' has opened. Coincidentally, on February 8th, 2001. Isn't that cool?
So, Ed, the original concept for what we now know as Soarin' started in 1996, over 20 years ago, as Ultra Flight. Ultra Flight was a concept that was a cross between a simulator and an Omnimover that was being considered for Disneyland's second gate, where guests would be lifted over a gigantic Omnimax screen in a system that looked nothing like it does today. If you can imagine, it looked like a dry cleaner's rack, but lots of them next to each other, lifting riders up on a screen so they could look down on it or maybe look straight. The Imagineers couldn't quite figure it out. Every design that they could come up with was considered to be too expensive or not practical. So Ultra Flight was sort of scrapped and put on a shelf on the side back in 96. Then sometime around 1998, Imagineer Mark Sumner looked at the plans and came up with a completely different approach, as he recounted in an interview that I'm sure every nerd, you, Jen, and all of us have seen this interview over and over again.
Oh, definitely.
Where over a long weekend, he put together a prototype with his Erector set at home.
Right.
That could load 87 passengers at once, giving them the ultimate view of the Omnimax screen by lifting them almost inside. That's the design that was approved for production back in 98.
It's funny, every time I saw that video, I had an Erector set when I was a kid, and I could easily see putting that thing together.
Yeah, and it seems so simple when you look at it, but it's funny. It's one of those things where it had to be set on the side for a couple of years, and somebody took a look at it with fresh eyes and thought, wait a minute, we can pull this off. This is kind of cool.
Well, and you're right. I'd be surprised if anyone who has been a Disney nerd for any length of time at all, hadn't seen that interview because it was one of those things where during the 50th anniversary of Disneyland, like all, everywhere, you could see parks interviews and they would say, hey, this guy built this with an erector set. And you'd see movie. I mean, it'd be on the front of movies and it was on Disney Junior. And everywhere you went, they're talking about how Soarin' was made, which was, it makes sense because it's very neat and a cool story. But yeah, you could not escape that interview anywhere. So,
oh, no doubt. And actually, what we'll do is listen to it right now.
Meanwhile, back on Earth and at Epcot, guests can find one of Disney's most innovative attractions. It's called Soarin', an astonishingly realistic and immersive hang gliding ride. Because it was such a big success and the number one attraction at Disney's California Adventure, Disney decided to take it back east.
Our guests were demanding that we bring Soarin' to Epcot.
You get a little thrill right at the beginning when you're sitting there in a subdued seat and it goes whoa and it swings you out and you wonder if you're going to keep going.
You tilt a little bit, you move with the scenery. It's really like you're going through the shot.
The demands of such an attraction presented all sorts of challenges for Disney's Imagineers.
We had to figure out how to get the people up there. So I came up with what I thought was a relatively simple mechanism. So I decided maybe I would make a little model. And then I remembered I had an old erector set. After about 2 hours, I came up with a little model that I could crank in place of an electric motor. And I could show how there could be a row of seats on a ground level and how they could soar back up into a screen.
So that, being as cool as it was just the beginning, because that gave them the start to be able to start to do filming, which took place from 1999 to 2000 with the most advanced Omnimax cameras at the time attached to helicopters. And it really took them the better part of 2 years because of the permission that was required to film in most of the locations. For example.
Well, I was going to say, now, they did their filming pretty much only in California, though, right?
It was all in California because this was designed to be one of the first attractions for California Adventure, and it was a tour over California.
Oh, beautiful.
Soarin' over California. So some of the locations, for example, were a flight over Yosemite National Park, which, by the way, that airspace is protected. It took them over a year to get the permits. Mm. And on an interesting side note, the Soarin' film crew was the first helicopter to fly over Yosemite since the mid-1900s.
That's crazy.
Which is kind of cool. Here's another little cool thing. Some of the scenes that they did over Monterey and Point Lobos, that's the surfers, it happened near a marine sanctuary. And because of that, one of the boats in the sequence is a boat from the National Oceanic and Atmosphere Administration, or NOAA. It was positioned there to make sure that the surfers and the film crew did not interrupt any of the animals or the breeding activities that were happening while the film was being shown.
Oh, cool. I wonder if it's that white boat that was off that point, like in the rough water.
It very well maybe. But it's cool, and it clearly says NOAA, and if you know the backstory, you'd understand why it was there. It was watching.
If only we could see that again.
Exactly. No, right? I guess YouTube's your friend.
Yeah, that's right.
Another interesting one was the Air Force flyover, which we've all seen them come flying in from the side. The choreographing of that took quite some time because if you think about it, there's a helicopter that wasn't that far away from those Air Force Thunderbirds that really couldn't change their course if the helicopter got in their path. So that one took a long, long time as well.
Right. Now, I wonder how true that scene was where they're coming, they see the guys on the horses, they come up over the mountain, see the big valley, and that's where the jets came in. One shot, you think it was?
So other things that I found in my research here, the film crews, they planted some of these people, right? The fishermen, the surfers, the snowboarders, and the scenes. And some of them waited for hours to get the perfect shot. The mountain climbers that are hanging in Yosemite hung there for hours. The skiers had to do it multiple times. This was one big shot, one helicopter, lots of planning, and it was as real as they could make it.
So cool.
Nice.
Which I think is part of the beauty of the original Soarin', but we'll get to that later.
Right.
Now, another big piece of making that was the music, which we all know, right? It was said that Jerry Goldsmith, who's a well-known television and movie composer at the time, watched the attraction. He was invited to ride it. And essentially, the story goes that he was brought to tears, and he basically said that he'd do anything to be part of that project because it reminded him of his father's love of California, and he'd do it for free. I don't know if that happened. That's how Jerry Goldsmith was involved in the composition of that.
Oh, very cool. Now, I tell you what, this is one of those definite possibilities or definite times you can check out my theory of sound over sight. Try listening to the sound of Soarin', the music of Soarin', with your eyes closed, not watching it. Then do the opposite. Turn the sound off and watch Soarin' without the sound. You're going to love the sound so much more. There's only so much you're going to get looking at it, but with the sound, it just does everything.
Well, that's why you can listen to the sound and see it. I mean, if you've ridden it enough, or maybe even just a few times, you can see it and feel it. And I swear I smell oranges. Like, it's so crazy. Right. Every single time I would have smelled oranges, I'm like, I'm in my house in Ohio, and I just, my brain thinks I'm smelling them, and it's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
That's good. So that happened from 99 to 2000, and Soarin' was ready. Soarin' Over California was ready for opening day of Disney's California Adventure on February 8th of 2001. Now, while most of DCA's original attractions, you know, were considered off-the-shelf type things, Soarin' was a crown jewel of Disney's California Adventure, and most guests were quoted as saying Soarin' alone was worth the price of admission. Mm. So lots of things happened there. Now, if you fast forward just a little bit, in late 2003, construction was noticed near the land pavilion at Walt Disney World's Epcot. And on January 3rd of 2004, Food Rocks completed its 10-year run inside the land. Now, I have some fond memories of Food Rocks. I don't know if you guys are, but
Definitely. Yep.
I love it.
Another one that should have gone, but definitely good memories.
Absolutely. And I get it. It was so dated into the 80s and 90s that I loved it. The food wrapper. I mean, come on. There's a whole nother story there. We'll leave that for later. Just a few months later, in May of 2004, Disney announced the anticipated Happiest Celebration on Earth, which marked the 50th anniversary of Disneyland. Now, that announcement included new shows and attractions at all of its 10 theme parks at the time. In Florida, Animal Kingdom got Lucky the Dinosaur from Disneyland, part of the Living Character Initiative. They also announced a new attraction called Expedition Everest for Animal Kingdom. Kind of cool. Disney's MGM Studios at the time would get an import from Walt Disney Studios Paris called Lights, Motor, Action, which I think that's gone now, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. Magic Kingdom in Florida would get a complete makeover of It's a Small World, featuring a new facade, which was a replica of Disneyland's Outdoor Small World, including the TikTok clock, along with a new castle stage show from Tokyo Disneyland, Cinderella Bration, and a golden anniversary makeover of Cinderella's Castle. You guys might remember that. And Epcot got the Hong Kong Disneyland Preview Center and Disney California Adventure's most popular attraction, Soarin'. That 18-month-long promotion scheduled to start May the 5th, 2005. Pretty big announcement across the board, right?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. And a real quick step back to the small announcement about Hong Kong being displayed. That is so much similar to what they just did recently with Shanghai, where they have that on display, I think, still, don't they?
In Epcot?
Yeah, because the terracotta soldiers are gone, and that entire room was a preview of the new park over in China.
I can't remember if I've seen Shanghai there. I remember from the expo, but yeah, there. I don't remember seeing it there.
Well, let me ask you this. Is there a new park in Shanghai?
Yes, absolutely.
Then
a huge new park.
Then they definitely had an incredible preview for that park inside there.
Well, yeah, we saw an incredible walkthrough of Shanghai stuff at the D23 Expo, which is really neat. But it's so interesting to look back at that celebration. That was kind of when we first started going back to Disney World, other than like the one-off times as kids and in high school for things. But it's such a special time. Like, it was interesting that I wasn't really aware of how unique that was, that all of these attractions were going in and they were kind of doing this crossover between all the parks. And that's really neat. It doesn't really happen like that often, but since we were just like newly back in the Disney world, it seemed like the norm. So it's just a lot of special memories there.
That all the way back in 2004.
Oh my gosh,
that's what
no,
I look at.
Crazy.
That's when those announcements took place. That's a long time ago. At
sure.
This point,
definitely is
years. So, as expected, the first official Soarin flight took place on May the 5th, 2005, the start of the 18-month-long celebration, which coincidentally is why Soarin is Flight 5505, mm-hmm. Flight 5505, now ready for departure.
Love it.
Oh, did not know that. Cool.
Some small change. Soarin over California is now Soarin in Epcot. The preview show was slightly edited, and if you look at it closely, you can see that it's the same film as California, but instead of saying, thanks for riding soaring over California, they just cut off the over California.
Okay. Now, let me just real quick. Now, I got to wonder what the meeting was like when they decided to bring Soarin over California to Florida. Now, I got to imagine there were some guys that didn't want to go for it because that doesn't make sense. Why would somebody want to watch California movie while they're in Florida? So that's an interesting thought that they basically wanted to bring the California movie. I mean, it worked perfectly. Everybody loved it. But initially, you know, when they start talking about it and money and everything.
Well, and I think if it was more like when, you know, Disney World first opened and they're working with Florida Tourism and, you know, kind of as a bringing these like third party things in the industry in. When we watched Soarin in Florida, as you know, residents of the Midwest, all we decided was we want to make a trip that goes to every single one of those sites. And if you were in California, on the flip side, why do I want to see a film about, I mean, granted, California is so big, and part of the beauty of the film was that there are so many different things to see in this one state. So I realize that you're not right next door to all of those things, but on one hand, you could argue that a California resident might kind of scoff at it, thinking, why would I want to look at that? I live there. So it worked either way. I'm glad they did it.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, I can imagine that conversation as well. And I think part of that it had to have been, well, we'll just update it later. Let's get the theater built and do things like that.
Right. We already have the movie. Makes sense.
Right. Now, along those lines, something interesting, a slight change in theme between California and Florida. In California, it was part of Condor Flats. So you were in an airstrip ready to take off and fly around California. But in Walt Disney World, rather than already being there, they changed the theme lightly to be gates and more of an airport theme, where the cast members here are wearing, you know, flight attendant costumes and you're about to fly to California versus wearing an air-filled crew costume in California and just taking off and riding up and down the coast. So they took a little bit of that into account. So the costumes are themed for taking a flight to California. And you know what? I love it. When you sit back and look at the costs and the helicopters and all of the themes and thoughts that they put in to the original Soarin, I just think it's incredible. It absolutely took us to a place that we'd never been before, being lifted up inside of an IMAX screen and seeing things happen around us. It was absolutely incredible.
Sure.
And I love the original Soarin.
I never thought too much about that. I never thought too much about, like you said, all the things that would have gone into, like, I realized they had to get the film, but it just was too easy to think, oh, they flew a plane, flew a couple drones, got some footage, put it on the screen. I never thought about all of the work and the hoops and the obstacles that would have been a part of that.
Have you ever seen any of the documentaries they had for the Circle Vision movies? You know, they have in China and in Canada and France over in well, I guess France isn't really Circle Vision, over in Epcot.
It's like a documentary about Circle Vision? No,
correct,
I have
how
not.
They made those films. No. And it's really, really cool to look at. They had actually cameras mounted on a vehicle that were circled. And as they're going through the crowd.
Or hanging.
I do vaguely remember. I've seen that somewhere, so right. I must have seen something. Yeah.
And you see that type of work also. And from seeing that as a kid, I was able to then kind of equate it to what happened in Soarin. So I don't know if I consciously really realized what they were doing, but I did have an idea. Definitely
big,
there was some
yeah.
work going into that part of it. Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
There's also a lot of work built into when that helicopter's making a right turn or a left turn, into banking the chairs and pulling you backwards and getting the movement in the seats to match up with that, just make it feel that much more immersive. Mm-hmm. Things we don't even think about.
Well, and we have like many of those, you know, local parks and those, like even our movie theaters now have those 4D seats that like move with the movie, but that's just back and forth, a little rumble here and there. Like that's not flying up and down and tilting and there's pitch, you know, that's just a fraction of what they had to do on Soarin'.
Right. One of the things about Soarin' that really told me this was going to be a new great experience was just standing online, waiting for it to start, watching the TV screen, and then having Patrick Warburton come on and tell us all about it. Just that little video had so many different things going on behind the scenes. And there's the two people sitting there with pilot outfits on and in the little buckaroo. And then, unfortunately, the one thing that always got me was the guy wearing the Disney, the Mickey ears. Yeah. And I'm like, that poor guy. And doesn't that look a little George Costanza-ish, considering you had, you know, Patrick in the... So, go ahead.
And even the music in that video and in the cue line, even though they're different, it's like it literally is like a movie score because you have all these different pieces of it, not just the 2.5 or 3 minute, whatever, however long it was, sound of the video itself, but even just the area music and the cue music, it all is part of this like amazing, it really, really set the stage well.
Mm-hmm. Yep, very much so.
And I have the only other thing that I have here, Ed, is the August 15th announcement from the D23 Expo, which basically said a new one's coming.
Yeah, with the title. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Cool. And we're all looking forward to it. And now we've all seen it. So now Old Soarin', which I guess is the way we're going to talk about it. And actually, Sam mentioned something to us before we started the show that the best Old Soarin' that ever was actually only 1 week. And that was the week that it went digital at Epcot before they turned it over to the new Soarin' movie.
Yeah, so let's talk about that for a second, because Soarin' was basically the same for 10 years.
Yeah.
Right, yes it was. Which we didn't care, though.
We didn't care, and the lines obviously didn't matter, because this was still the fast pass to get, right?
Yeah.
Take your pick.
Still
it's
my favorite, yeah.
Flip a coin. Yeah. Do you want Test Track or Soarin'? It's one of those two. The fast pass is there. The lines are always long as can be. It's the place to go, but over 10 years, that original film started to show a little bit of wear.
It did.
Oh, it got crappy. It reminded me of my grandfather's old 8mm films they'd show downstairs on the projector, where you'd have the little hairs and the pits in it and stuff like that. Oh, it was getting
the
very
hair,
bad.
I just wanted to blow the hair off for there, especially when it's projected so big, and you know, there's one tiny little hair in the film, and it takes up half of the sky when you're flying in, and it's like, get that off there. But
and it's a shame because you're used to the animation, and you're at a Disney parks, you're waiting for somebody to actually reach over and pluck that hair right out.
Exactly.
You know, and at first, I loved the ride so much that at first I would hear you guys or hear other people kind of talk about it getting grainy, and I'd look, and I'm like, oh, it's still perfect, it's still beautiful. You know, it's like, I don't know, love. I was like blinded by my love for it, but I was like, yeah, I guess I can kind of see we're seeing these really great TVs come out, and this looks worse. But it was when it started getting like scratches, and like you said, things literally sitting on there that you couldn't not be distracted by those things. They were massive.
Yes, yes,
they're
they were
awful. And you go to Disneyland and see the digital version before we got it, and you're like, whoa, wait a minute.
That's key right there, Jen, because I saw the digital version of Soarin' in California a couple of years before any announcements of something coming, and it absolutely changed
it
my mind.
Ruined it really. It ruined it. It ruined Florida.
It ruined it for Epcot, absolutely, because it was so bright and so clear, and everything was perfect, and it looked like you were flying and looking out the window of whatever you were flying
and
on.
And you went back home.
It was the HD digital version of Soarin', and it was absolutely perfect.
Yep.
Nice.
Loved it.
Then the old one looked really, really bad.
Then the old one looked bad at Epcot.
Yeah.
Now, some of the things about Old Soarin' that I really loved, and I think that made it last those 10 years, were first the smells. Mm. The smells on the ride. Jen mentioned earlier the smell of oranges when you're flying through the orange fields. And the different things that just came at you were really, really immersive. The smell of the ocean, if you could imagine that. The smell of the pine trees in the beginning and the fishing stream. It put you there. It added that extra dimension. And even outside the parks, listening to the music, you could smell those things. Another thing that I thought was always cool is that with Old Soarin', you always tried to get that perfect seat. First row. Doesn't really matter where it was, just as long as you were in the first row. If you weren't in the first row, you tended to be a little bit further down or left and right. What was great about the Soarin' film was that because the screen was curved, you're down bottom left, say, you could see further down that you've seen before. And you see that rainbow and the big waterfall in the mountain. That rainbow goes down to the bottom. And you can see in that whole little gully where all the water's down there. Or on the right side, you see that whole resort that you never see from the top row because you're looking at the waterfall and the sky and the parasailers that you just notice those guys. But when you do get those bottom seats, you do at least get to see things you've never seen before. And I always thought that was cool about that. And I tell you, one of the last things I really liked and probably one of the best is I've had a soundtrack of Soarin' for years. And the soundtrack I've had, and I've mentioned this on the show before, is a special soundtrack in that it has a lot of voices. Like when you're in the stream and the guys are fishing, you can hear them talking about the fishing.
Yeah.
When you come up over that skiing mountain and that one guy hits the powder, you hear him. It's like in this audio, you hear him, oh, I'm all right, as you go up and over the mountain.
After the thump.
Right, right, exactly. So, and that sound and that audio experience, again, made it so much easier to bring myself right inside the ride again that it just made it that much better and made it always that first ride we go to whenever we went to Epcot.
I agree.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that, and I have to get that soundtrack you're talking about, Ed, because I know I can hear in the orange grove the guy that's picking the oranges with the suction thing. and that's part of that as well, is hearing him pick those oranges and getting the smell as you go over top of the orange grove. I love that.
Sure. And every time you're going over something different with your legs, like you're kicking your feet in the water when the guys are surfing, or you're going over the hill where the mountain is and there's nothing beneath you except for that frozen lake out in the distance. Even to the point of the hidden Mickeys. We had a bunch of hidden Mickeys we were able to find in Soarin'. That was great, being able to find them for the first time or do the golf ball trick. I did that with my kids one time when Iger hits the golf ball.
Oh, I know.
I have got a golf ball in my hand to writing. I'm like, got it. And I showed the kids. I got the golf ball.
Yep. That's great for young ones. It was, absolutely. Because they don't know you have it, but you have a golf club, a golf ball, and you just kind of catch it and go, I got it. I got it.
Yeah.
Very
after cool.
The ride, they just light up. Can I keep that?
Right.
And of course, you had to put a hidden Mickey on the ball because there's a hidden
Mickey. Sure. Of course. And one of the things that always baffled me about the ride, and I think I might have even mentioned it earlier in a different show, was that at the end with the fireworks coming up, you had the Mickey ears that came out, and then the whole ride would like kind of jerk a little bit. And it was funny because it always synced to the biggest explosion of the fireworks as if everybody was like kind of recoiling from it. I think I only found out like in the last couple rides, it was just the ride getting lowered down again. Yeah. And that was kind of the jerk you're feeling as you're starting to lower back.
Sort of the brake getting let go, right?
Right, kind of right. But it was so perfectly timed. It took me, what, 9 years to figure that out?
It is good.
Yeah.
It's good. And the pine trees were great there as well. The digital version of the original Soarin', I believe, is the best version.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to kind of circle things around, after those 10 years, in August of 2015, at the D23 Expo, Disney announced that the attractions at Epcot and California Adventure would debut new versions of Soarin' Over the Horizon and Soarin' Around the World. The new film would feature new locations, new landscapes, new landmarks, 6 continents around the world. And unlike the original ride film, the updated version features a transition between scenes, including close encounters with a seaplane, a kite, an eagle. I'm reading Disney's press release. We'll talk about how we feel about those in a minute. The updated attraction is scheduled to open on June 17th of 2016 after a refurb. A couple of things between the lines here. Number one, the biggest part of this in Epcot was the addition of a third theater to support 50% more throughput. That's awesome.
So, Sam, you and I were both at the expo last year. It's been 2 years now because this is the summer.
Years,
But I remember when that announcement was made, I want to know how you felt because Soarin' is definitely my favorite ride. And I was excited, but I was very nervous, which I think plays into my reaction to having seen new Soarin' now. I think, whatever, we'll probably discuss some things that we like and don't like about it. But for me, it was such a relief they didn't lose a lot of the elements that I loved about the original. We wondered what they were going to do with the score and are there still going to be smells? Are they going to be the same smells? What was your reaction when you heard that at Expo?
I think it's the same reaction I have every time Disney announces that they're changing a classic, which is, oh, this could be really good, think Star Tours.
And then, oh, crap.
Or this could be really bad, think Figment.
You know,
I don't know where to fit. So I'm somewhere in between there going, come on, knock it out of the
park. You know, I wonder, going back to that conversation we had a little bit ago, like, this may be the first ride. This is like my Mr. Toad. Like, I didn't ride Mr. Toad until Disneyland. You know, there's so many rides. I never rode Horizons. This could be my, like, how dare you touch this ride? What are you going to do to it? Right. You know, and so it was, I don't know, I kind of had a very mixed reaction, but I was very anxious to ride the new one.
Absolutely. Couldn't wait to get the new one. And along those lines, seeing some of the things that they've knocked out of the park and hoping that they could extend that to be even better, I might have set myself up for some disappointment.
So yeah, we came at it from opposite expectations, and probably that I do think that probably affected how we feel about it now.
Yep, I'm sure.
Right. I went into it with high expectations because I'd heard all the news clips. I'd seen them filming around the world. I was looking for this thing to be incredible, considering how much they did, how well they did with Soarin'. Why wouldn't this be great?
So I'm hearing that you don't think it's great.
And that's one of the things I'm kind of fighting with, because, and we kind of talked about this earlier, if I went in and I saw Soarin' for the first time, the new Soarin',
first
I think
time incredible, right? Any Soarin'.
First time ever Soarin', right. If that was the first time I saw Soarin' with the new one, I'd be ecstatic. I'd be probably falling over backwards seeing it all the time.
I love it.
However, there are some little things. And to be honest, it's very little things. The ride's still entertaining. It's still going to be my first ride at Epcot. It's still going to be one of my major fast passes at Epcot. I'm not going to change that. There was just some of the items that were involved. When you think that the technology is so up to date that they couldn't have avoided some of these little problems about, that to me was the only thing. I mean, the filming itself, beautiful, magnificent. The places they went, well thought out. I mean, they really did well as far as where we stopped and what we looked at.
You could even probably argue both sides of, I'm sure we'll get to, like, the CG extras. Like, you could argue that that's beneficial for some people, even if you don't like it. But you're right, there are some problems that are just problems.
Was what? Jar Jar Binks beneficial to anybody?
Children. No. Children. Kids love him. But you're right. No, I totally agree. I completely agree. But I don't know. Some people, especially kids, probably really dig, you know, a polar bear waving at them.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. No doubt. And the whale looks very realistic. And however, after you see it a couple times, that does wear pretty fast.
As does, yeah, and, like the curved, I'm sure, yeah, the curvation of the screen, the curvature of the screen ruining things. And yeah. I don't know.
Well, that's a whole other issue.
That's a whole other issue.
I think that's an issue that you cannot put a positive spin on. When the Eiffel Tower looks like it's going to fall over, there's not really a positive spin.
Sure. And what Jen's talking about is, before with old Soarin', you worried about getting in the first row. The first row meant you didn't have any shoes in your face or feet in your face, and you could see basically everything. Now, what you need to do is get into the center bay. So instead of the first row of the left or right bay, you need to be in the center bay. Doesn't matter what row anymore. That's the worst. You don't even care about what row as long as you're in the center bay. If you're in either the left or right bay, anything on the screen that's going up or down develops a curve to it because of the way the screen is.
Does that disappear in the center bay? Does that go away completely?
Yes.
Oh, then I don't think I've ridden it there. That's crazy.
And here's the problem. I saw it in the center of the first.
Oh, bay. No.
So
it was beautiful.
Perfect. And I thought something was wrong when I saw
it. Oh, that's
it in
too
the
funny.
Right
they
bay.
put it in wrong.
Wait a minute. It looks curved. Was it curved when I saw it before? No, I couldn't have been. I would have noticed that before. So, and it kept happening because you have the Eiffel Tower. You've got
Taj Mahal.
That real big monolithic and the mountain, that real tall mountain going there. And that looks
the Taj Mahal looks like it has one of those like Snapchat filters that distorts it. Yeah, but I thought it was unavoidable. I don't think I've ridden it probably, I don't know, 10 times, and I had no idea that you could avoid that.
You must listen to this show and get this tip then.
So here's the problem that I have with this, and exactly what you're talking about, Ed. The original concept and design of this entire thing was to bring the audience, all 87 people, into the middle and give them all the best view. And you broke that.
Mm. Yeah.
That's true.
That bugs me about the whole thing. Go back to that history we just said. The whole idea was to put everyone in the middle and give everybody the best seat. And it feels like that's not happening.
And how could they have not have spotted that?
Well, yeah, you know they had to test different seats. I mean, they don't do things
right.
Half-heartedly when they.
So I have a theory. And it ties back to the CGI stuff that Jen was talking about, because I don't think there's one shot in the new Soren that is genuine to what was recorded with the camera.
Really?
Which, by the way, technology is now, you fly a drone with the high definition
camera,
you don't
footage.
Need a helicopter right. anymore.
Sure, right.
You don't need it. So
every
the
scene.
Original Soren, everything, the ski jumpers, the people here over there, it's all choreographed, and these people waited around.
Right, yeah, definitely.
In the new Soren, you take a beautiful shot of the Great Wall of China, and then somebody decides they're going to put all these umbrellas and the people flying the kites and put all these extra pieces in it, which I don't think were needed. I think it distracts from the ultimate picture. And I think that when you look at it on a flat computer screen or even a big computer screen, you're not looking at it from a view of all of the people in the theater, and that's how you got those distortions being on the right and on the left. That's my theory.
Maybe, yeah.
And that's there are two things that's one of them, that extra pieces. I'm like, you don't need those extra pieces. I get what you said about the kids and the polar bear, and that's cool. But the one that really jumps out at me is the in the canoe kind of rowing towards you. I'm forgetting what scene it is because my eye goes right to the canoes.
The island.
The island where they're rowing towards you.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's like five or six canoes and everybody's rowing towards you at the same time. And if you look at them closely, the animations are identical. And to me, it reminds me of the audience in a Madden football game when you're playing a video game.
Oh, my goodness.
Because
I think you're
going to
ruin this for me.
And I'm
okay.
like going, why?
Well, I was thinking the same thing, but I have something to look forward to for that island scene. The next time you're on the new Soren and that island scene happens, look right away at the bottom of the island, the beach on the one side of the island. You're going to see like a 50 or 60 stingrays. That are just hanging out in the water there, which is really cool to notice that.
Cool.
And and you won't look at the
there
canoes as closely.
Thank you for that.
Real, but I doubt that they are. But anyway.
Another great – I tell you what, the African savannah scene, the elephant scene, I think is really, really great. Granted, it's probably put together with a bunch of different shots from other places, but that to me was the first dose of smell that we got on the ride.
Yeah.
And it was a really, really good smell of the savannah grass and dirt. And then, but the downside was the transitions because the elephant's throwing up the dirt in the air and then boom, you're transitioning. And I think they did that too much,
wasn't it?
They did that too many times, I think, through this one because every scene has that big transition. Like you almost get hit by the plane or the bird. Yeah, that was kind of a little abrupt.
Well, and I think that, I don't know, you're talking about the grass smell, and I mentioned that I came into it with different expectations, and I cried tears of joy when I saw it the first time. I thought it was so good. I thought they did just amazing things. I thought, you know, I barely even noticed the polar bear. It didn't bother me. Like, nothing bothered me because I was so relieved that they did such a nice job of incorporating the old score, but not, you know, not getting rid of it, but not redoing it.
I was so pleased
with the things I was worried about that nothing else mattered. It was perfect as far as I was concerned. And then now I've gone back and seen those other things where like, okay, it's a little cheesy or maybe, you know, that's not necessary. But the one thing that I did that very first time, the one thing that struck me as odd, I was like, I went from this orange grove smell or even the pine and all these smells that like, I feel like instantly lower my blood pressure to a smell that makes me think I have hives. Like it was really nicely done. Like I think that the savanna grass dirt thing was nicely done. It smelled, I don't know. There's candles that smell like that too. So I'm sure that there's an appeal. But for me, I was like, this is weird.
That's funny. Yeah, true. And I guess now what you said kind of is relevant in that the first time you saw it, which is the same for me, the first time I saw the new Soren, it was incredible. Everything was exactly what you said, what I expected. It was met. They did all these different places in the world. And not until I saw it three or four more times that I start. I'm waiting for the CGI part here for where the bear does this, or I'm waiting to see the difference between that mountain over there, stuff like that. So it became more of that, which leads me to the question, does this have the legs of old Soren?
To be fair, I waited on the guy to fall every time in the old Soren. I thought that was funny every single,
exactly.
But it was funny every time. The bear, I think, doesn't have the staying power. Because while I did wait for that thing that stood out, it literally made me laugh every time, that poor guy or girl. But I don't know. I'm not sure if it does or not. I don't know. But it's easier to change now, right? Isn't that part of the appeal.
Yes. So what I when I said that I set my expectation too high and I referred to Star Tours, I'm specifically thinking that I expected every time I rode Soarin' for it to be different.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
To get different scenes from different places and not have the same ride.
Right.
And that was the plussing that I was hoping for, right? So now let's do Disney. Go do 20 different shots in different places and even keep some of the old ones. And every time I ride, show me 12 of them. Make it rewritable. And that was my personal disappointment. But like we said, if somebody never rode this before and they go to ride it, they're going to love it.
Absolutely.
Right.
That's, and man.
And they haven't seen ridership go down. And I tell you what, with the transitions, the way we just mentioned earlier, they could do different
scenes.
They could.
Yeah,
because
could.
The transitions are that
abrupt.
Late,
yeah.
Or that
yeah.
blatant.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're just
they really are.
There.
Yeah.
So that's a possibility for the future. Sure. You never know. It depends how. I almost hate to say this. It depends how evolved their technology is. It should be state of the art. Obviously,
yeah,
it's brand new.
Well, but okay, let's take one of the scenes here because all of them, with the exception of one, are based on an actual film footage and then it was enhanced in some way, shape, or form, some more than others, with the exception of the Taj Mahal.
Well,
that is
second 100%, time I saw that. Yeah.
It's 100% CGI. They could not get the rights to fly over Taj Mahal. It's 100% computer generated. There is nothing real about that scene.
I would have questioned maybe not using it.
To be fair, I feel like it kind of stands out as the worst as far as the, at least when, like I said, obviously I've only ridden in bad seats apparently, but it's the most distorted, and which kind of doesn't make sense because you think you could manipulate that if you wanted to, but it definitely kind of sticks out. I agree. I think I would have not used it. And certainly it's an iconic landmark, but there are 100 others to choose from.
Sure. Right. Absolutely. There's
you're going to run out.
So many places. And now all that said, it should be easy to Disney for somebody right now to be working on five more.
Yeah, I hope,
and be able to pull those
sure.
back.
How about the United States?
Give me Mount Rushmore.
Honestly.
Give me Statue of Liberty. There's...
Well, and sure. it does. That would accomplish the same. And I think that Around the World is a great concept. I think that it's perfect for Epcot. It's definitely appealing, but I actually think I would like better. Part of the appeal for Soarin' Over California, probably whether, even if you lived there, was this, I don't know, this appreciation, I guess, like, I have friends that will take like RV trips across the country, and there's just this appreciation mm-hmm. that like this is all in my country, like these like giant mountains and then these not so giant mountains and these beaches that all look different and these plains and whatever, just all these different things are in one country or in one state. That's really fascinating. And then you can put in the hidden gems. You can put in, of course, you put in the Grand Canyon, but you also put in, you know, a lesser seen shot of San Diego Bay Harbor or whatever. Like, you can do this sure. and just show these details that maybe not everybody knows about. And that's really kind of cool. I feel like we've seen, even if Soarin does it well, we've all seen that slideshow of all cool places in the world. And so for me, I yep. think that's why it doesn't have the staying power. This is like a slightly cooler version of every other look how cool the world is slideshow and doesn't have any of those like unique smaller pieces, like no hidden gems to look forward to.
Yeah, good observation. I do like the waterfall because I think that looks pretty realistic.
Oh, there are tons that are realistic. It's the little enhancements, right?
Sure.
And I forget where, but once upon a time, you know, a great artist knows when to stop.
Oh, yeah.
When
yeah.
the masterpiece is finished. And I felt like they kept going too far.
Right.
Like it was finished, but no, let's add this one more thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, you don't need it. It looks fine.
Well, what about the final scene?
The Epcot scene?
Yep.
I
that it came home?
Yeah, I'm happy that it came home. I'm happy it came where it was. I
am happy. I'm a little bitter that we had to see Disneyland for 10 years and now everyone gets their own park.
Oh,
is that true?
That's what I've heard. That's park? I could be wrong, but I've heard that I've heard that several question. Times. And if that's the case, I'm like, well, hey, like you could end in Epcot for a decade, but I like seeing Epcot.
Yeah, definitely. And it's kind of nice because you really kind of just show up there.
Yeah, it's cool.
I I liked the old ending. I loved it was Disneyland. I loved seeing the Matterhorn Mountain in the background. I loved that it was a Christmas parade. But, you know, I get it. Epcot's awesome, too. Come on. I'm not going
to
complain.
Right. And the old one, it was the music built toward the end. You're on the highway. You're getting to the park. There it is. The trumpets are going. The fireworks are going up. Great ending.
And that's really unique. I didn't think about this until we were just talking about it. But it's also interesting. That is actually the transition that happens when you're going. Like, Ed, you said you're going to Disneyland later this year, which is awesome.
Yep.
You're like, okay, I've landed. I've gotten my rental car. I'm driving down the highway. Oh, cool. There's Angel State. And there's the Matterhorn. This is weird. Like, you're on the highway just outside of L.A. or, you know, relatively just outside of L.A. And then all of a sudden you're, like, in Disneyland almost exactly as it happened on the video. So, I don't know. It is kind of neat. But I'm trying to find out if they are – I think they are the end. I heard that somewhere, but –
I would hope so. That would be so perfect. But because we saw California for 10 years, I wasn't sure.
But nothing can say that they can't, you know, add some things and move some things around. Like you guys mentioned, the segues between it are there.
Well, and
sure.
Right? It's a complete segue. Hey, here's an eagle flying right over you. Or here's the elephant throwing stuff up in the air. You could have anything come up next. And man, it'd be...
Even simpler than that, if they're, you know, that would be amazing if they're doing that, whether it rotates or what have you. You could even honestly just rotate through several whole films if you wanted. But I would love,
sure.
I just think it makes so much sense. And I'm a big fan of things being different on both coasts, even if they're similar. But I would love if California Adventure still had Soarin' Over California and Epcot had Soarin' Around the World. Like, that makes so much sense to me.
Now, we have 3 theaters down in Florida. Is there a chance that perhaps you would have theater maybe C just show old Soarin'?
Hmm.
Would that be ever worth it, digital in its glory? Could they do
worth
that?
Worth it, yes. I worry that you'd get the thing that always comes back to. What if someone's there for their only once-in-a-lifetime trip and they expect to see one
then
thing and they don't
do
see the other? And well, or
they
wait
in
line and they're in the wrong one. Or
yeah.
I don't know. I agree. I think it would be worth it. I think that PR decision makers might think otherwise.
Right. Of course.
I don't think you'd have to designate a theater. I think you could switch them off and on throughout the day and all of them.
Now,
you know what I mean?
Someone would be disappointed. I mean, it's...
But what Jen says comes to play. They'll be disappointed because you didn't see the
right.
Now,
so you designate it.
If, as you said, it's like Star Tours, that it's completely... Certainly, you say, oh, that's a bummer. I missed that one scene or I got 2 scenes that I love. But it's still so many options that you don't feel like you got slighted or you missed the one that you really wanted to see. Like, there's a good chance if there's 10 scenes that you've seen, that you see a handful that you really wanted to see. So that would make sense.
From a scene perspective, let me ask you this, Ed, because you mentioned if you have screens with different ones. If you're in line and you had to pick one, which one are you going to see?
Old Soarin' Digital?
Right, yeah, I think so too.
I think that's the best one, but the next time I got in line, I'm going to see the
I agree.
Oh, I would go back and forth.
maybe like 2 and 1.
Oh,
yeah,
no,
I'm
not
going to discount it.
Definitely not. And that's a good segue because we want to say that we're not here to diss Soarin'. Soarin' is still an incredible ride.
Absolutely.
Compared to any ride in the parks themselves or outside the parks, Soarin's a home run. And I will go on it multiple times every trip. I will try to get inside, and you can ask the cast member. This is something to always think about. Hey, can I sit in the center bay? And 9 times out of 10, they'll just put you aside and let the line pass you until that center bay comes to the loading area. Might cost you an extra 10, 15 minutes, but to me, it's worth it to sit in that center bay. So go ahead and do that. Yeah, so we are not here to diss the ride.
I still love it.
We're just pointing out some of the things we found in it that were a little off. And some of the things that were really great.
And
I don't want to sound like a downer. I love the new Soarin', and I'm going to ride it every time I go. I was just a little disappointed at first, but now I'm over it because I thought I could have a Star Tours. It's okay. It's okay. I'm all right.
I did find from a relatively reasonable source that it says that Soarin' Over the Horizon in Shanghai shows Shanghai, and Epcot Returns to Epcot DCA retains a similar flight down Main Street USA in Disneyland, but reshot. So at least those 3 sound like they're different.
Ooh.
Which is kind of cool, I guess.
I got to see the new shot in California then. I'm interested.
YouTube is your friend?
No. Well, it depends on when you're going.
I'm not going to see it until I get there.
You're not going for a while,
nice.
Then YouTube is your friend. But so, yeah, it's interesting. And what is, Sam, in your research, do you know, is Soarin' Over the Horizon just a, like when they have a different movie title in Asia, or is it different?
I didn't it look seems into like, that. I'm not 100% sure.
I think it's just a different title, but that seems odd to me because it's not like the world means something different, but I don't know.
It should.
Maybe it translates differently.
Well, and that's a lot of times with movies, it'll be like that. You know, there's this ends up being slang or doesn't yeah, land, right? You know, but.
So, Ed, before you stop, I got one thing that I was hoping would happen over at Soarin'. It didn't. And it's got nothing to do with the ride or the experience or any of that stuff. And Jen, you might be on me on this one. There's a height restriction for Soarin'. And the little guys can't get on, which is okay. I get that. It's the famous rider switch pass or child switch pass. Where the old fast pass distribution used to be. Remember all the machines right there on the right-hand side?
Right.
It's completely empty and there's nothing there.
Wasted space.
I would love to see something for the kids that are too
like
little
an interactive
to
play area.
To.
You could totally theme it and everything. Anything. Oh yeah. And it wouldn't have to just be a playground. Like it could be the screens that have the games and I mean it could be
anything.
So many cool things.
Right.
It could be a
think,
kid.
Think
I don't
Winnie
care.
The kid oh sure, definitely a kid got think Winnie the Pooh with the stand up things. The stand-up screens.
Think Mission Space with the playground.
But that's what I'm thinking. You know what I mean? Like, it could be a kid cut, okay. But it could be something so much more interactive and Sony. And I have, Soarin', of all places, like, it's my favorite ride, but we, with all three children, have had, like, rude cast members and just bad experiences with our kids reaching that point or almost reaching that point. Or I mean, no other ride has been like this for whatever reason. But I am all on board. Now my kids are all old enough, unless, you know, next time they decide Nolan's not. But... which is possible, but I would love that. That's so neat because it's such an anticipated ride. And then to have either a family member who doesn't really get to do it because, you know, if this kid can't ride, we're just not going to do it. Or that one who actually isn't quite tall enough and is super disappointed. If you have something very fun like Mission Space, then I don't know. It takes off a little bit of that blow.
It's just softens the blow. Maybe it's, hey, go ride Living with the Land, which I can see, but that closes at 7 o'clock. Right. It just I look at that space every time we get off, and I can remember waiting because we had one that wasn't tall enough, so my wife would ride with the two olders, and then I would ride with the two older kids. It just there's something there. Come on, Disney, you're missing this.
Honestly, what would be so easy? Do you know those we have them at museums, even at our airports? There's like those screens. There's some on the ground, and then there's some that are on the wall. They'll have like kind of like the ones in the queue. Like there will be I don't know. Butterflies or something, and you can like shoo them away by moving, you know, like your movement it affects the screen, much like the Soarin queue was. I don't know if it still is, but you could have just I mean goodness knows the Disney company has plenty of footage of places in the world, and anything. You could have anything there, and you'd add a little bit of that to it. And I realize I don't know the exact technology, but it seems if the Dayton airport can have that for 10 years, I'm pretty sure Disney can do it pretty quickly. So it's yeah you're right, I'm with you. That's good.
That's the only thing.
Isn't it Ed, though, that has to say it? Isn't it Ed that has to say it to make it happen?
Yeah, Ed, you have to say it.
Well, we'll see if this happens. You mentioned really quick the games. The games are different now, too, by the way. It's a trivia game that's connected with your phone. So it is really nice they have
it. You need your mobile device to hit a website to do it, right?
Yes, correct.
I forget what the website is. It's something simple like Soarin' Game. But... it only works when you're in the queue. It won't work when you're in the test track queue. We try.
Or at home. I was about to pull it up right now.
Yeah, it doesn't work in the test track queue. I don't think it would work at home, but you could give it a shot.
Right. Okay, guys, so that's it for show number 171, Disney in Detail, Soarin' the Ride, the new and the old. Send us an email at thedisneynerds@yahoo.com. For Sam, Jen, this is Ed. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Congaloosh. I need to hear some Soarin' music there, man.
See ya.
Thank you. glossary. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in peace, the haunting's free. So hurry back, we would like your